blues musician Toby Walker tells the story this way. All I knew about James' son Thomas, besides being a great blues musician, was that he lived somewhere in Leland, Mississippi. After I arrived in Leland, I literally went up to the first person I saw and asked if they ever heard of Thomas. The man I asked was carrying a small boy up on his shoulders. He turned to me, slowly put the boy down, leaned into my car window. "Yeah, I know, son. He's hanging out at the chicken joint up that road. Just go to the intersection and you'll see it." Wow, what luck. I drove up to the intersection and immediately spied one of those franchise chicken restaurants. By this time, I was pretty excited. It had been a long trip and I was anxious to meet son for the first time. But I was not that fortunate. When I walked in and asked about James, no one there had ever heard of him. The manager came out from behind the counter and had me repeat Thomas's name. Then he turned to the waitress and asked her to summon the cook from the kitchen. "What was your boyfriend's name?" he asked the cook. "My boyfriend's name is James," she replied. "Where is he?" he asked. "He's over at the chicken joint across the street," she said. Now I'm thinking to myself, there's only one chicken store around here, at least from what I could make out from the street. At this point, the manager points to the building and says, "That's the place over there." But there's no way anyone could tell what kind of place it is. So I walked across the street and entered the building. Inside were about a half a dozen tables with old mix-and-match chairs. Behind the counter was a man wearing an apron who looked at me with a bit of suspicion. Sitting at one of the tables were two farmers who also gave me the once-over. However, Thomas was nowhere to be found. "Anybody ever hear of James' son Thomas?" I asked. The cook said, "No." The men at the table just shook their heads. Great, I thought, another dead end. Just then, a man I hadn't noticed before spoke out from the corner of the room. "Son's over at his house, just up the block. There's a big white car parked out front. You can't miss it." When I first arrived, I was greeted by James' large white dog named Snowball. All she did was jump up on me and lick me all over my face. Pretty soon James came up to the door and started laughing. "I see you made friends with my dog." Born in Eden, Mississippi in 1926, Son learned how to play the guitar from his uncle and grandfather. He didn't really start playing seriously until he was in his 50s. During this time, one of the ways he made a living was by digging graves. I worked as a grave digger with a man who only had one arm. He was so good at it that he could beat me digging just with that one arm. Within minutes of my arrival, James broke out two guitars, one for him and the other for me. We spent the better part of the day jamming on his front porch. Besides from being an excellent musician, James was a talented maker of clay sculptures. He would get the clay from the banks of the Mississippi River. On one of my visits, I noticed a large mound of red clay sitting in his front yard. This was his supply. Inside his front porch was a table laden with cans of spray paint, cotton swabs, and sculptures in various stages of development. He would apply the spray paint once a piece was hardened with one of those Q-tips. A story about Mississippi bluesman James' son Thomas, told by award-winning blues musician Toby Walker, who met and played with Son on trips to Leland, Mississippi. Acclaimed documentary photographer Jim Gavinas from northeastern Pennsylvania made a trip to Leland, too, but Son had passed on by that time. Instead, Gavinas visited with and took photos of Son's son, Pat Thomas. And very shortly, these two artists will be trading Son stories. Walker and Gavinas have international careers, and they approach the blues with years of experience doing what they love. On June 8th, 9th, and 10th, Scranton's historic Trip House will be the backdrop for an event titled The Faces and Voices of the Blues, featuring an exhibition of work by documentary photographer Jim Gavinas and a blues workshop and live musical performance by internationally touring blues musician and historian Toby Walker, a meeting of these two artists and their work. Jim Gavinas' photography is exhibited in galleries and museums worldwide, and his intimate images and poignant storytelling have earned him the Gordon Park Documentary Photographer of the Year Award, as well as an esteemed place in the North Carolina Bluegrass Hall of Fame. Gavinas' work with more than 30 Hall of Fame musicians and his images appear regularly for Sony Music, Columbia Records, Lost Highway Records, Merlefest, and Farm Aid. We're hearing Toby Walker. Toby Walker is an exceptionally gifted fingerstyle guitarist, singer, songwriter, and storyteller who has dedicated his life to capturing the blues where and by whom the music was created. His storytelling entertains audiences with tales of his travels to meet and learn from these masters. In collaboration with Carnegie Hall, Toby Walker brought American Roots, an educational and musical program about the blues, into the New York City school system. His 10th CD, Shake, Shake Mama, has just been released to great reviews, and that follows his Speechless for Once CD, which was honored with the 2010 New York Music Award for Best Instrumental Album of the Year. This event is being presented by Poco Notes, co-founded by Dolores Hippler and Patrick Harper, to celebrate music and the arts in northeastern Pennsylvania. Dolores Hippler of Poco Notes and photographer Jim Gavinas paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the faces and voices of the blues taking place the weekend of June 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Tripp House in Scranton. And Toby Walker eventually joined us by phone. Dolores got things underway by telling us about the founding of Poco Notes.
Many people know that the idea for Poco Notes came as Pat was leaving the World Trade Center for what we realize now was the last time. And in response to all the insanity, he just wanted to do something to give back, to make the second half of our lives count. And as children of the 60s who no longer go out to listen to live music for the same reason many of our peers don't, it's often too expensive, too crowded, too crazy, and too late. I'm in my pajamas at 8 o'clock. I don't want to leave for a show at 9 or 10. So we didn't know what we would do, but there's so much incredible talent up in northeastern Pennsylvania where we have been coming since 1999 that we said, well, let's do something where we can have the local musicians be heard, because bars that have 9 televisions going at the same time are not about listening. So we decided, well, we don't have venues, so we present musicians who need to be heard in places that need to be seen throughout northeastern PA. They're small. Poco is meant to be small. There are events that the artist and the audience create together. And in venues that truly, we have an event coming up at the Tripp House that was built in 1772, and it's a beautiful venue for a wedding or a bridal shower. However, we just feel that it needs something so much more. So we think we're going to bring something special. This is really, it's a mission to just expand their audience, have one more person just take a moment to stop and listen. As I've often say, I do have a day job. I don't get to choose who I work with. Here I do. It's about really good people. And we've met many, many wonderful ones in our journey.
And one of them is right there at your elbow.
Jim, I have to say, I was trying to think when we actually first met. I had gone to see one of your shows at Luzerne County Community College,
right,
where you teach.
Several years ago.
But every time I go out to see Jim's work, he always has a picture of a particular musician on hand for me because he knows I love him so much. And that's Larry Campbell.
Yes.
Who was very instrumental, no pun intended, to Levon Helm, who recently passed. So when someone pays that kind of close attention to you, you kind of pay attention back.
What were the circumstances of that photo?
I photographed Larry and Levon for a number of years. And Dolores and I had spoken about Larry a number of times, and she knows Larry and knew his mother. And so we kind of had that connection, plus the arts. And I feel the same way about having an intimate setting to look at my work. And a lot of venues that give me an opportunity to show my work, they also have other things going on. So people maybe don't take the time that I would like them to take to look at it, and also to hear the stories behind the pictures. It's the stories behind the pictures, really, that are the important part of it, that I really like to share. But even though we've known each other for quite a while, we never worked on a project of this magnitude. But we're ready.
And how did you think of Toby?
Toby's special. Toby had played for us in 2008 on one of the hottest June nights of my life in a venue that had no air conditioning. So in anticipation of people being in close quarters and cranky, we put out lots of extra chairs so they have room to spread out, and they did. And the second half of the show, because Toby typically has an intermission, I was at the back of the room, and I noticed that the back half was empty. And I said to Pat, it looks like everybody left, and I get it. It's hot in here. They had all moved closer. They were squashed together like bugs up against the screen trying to get closer to hear the music. So I was telling him the only thing hot of that room was his music. He played the night for us until about 11:15, but he got such a strong sense of what it was we were trying to do. And at the end of the evening, frankly, people were saying, where are you playing next? Oh, Philadelphia, I'll go down there. And I'm saying, well, the point is to support him when he comes here, so we can have this here.
So how did you then think, well, we'll get Toby to play the blues and we'll get Jim to go to Clarksdale, Mississippi to take pictures? How did that work out?
Well, Jim has taken photos long before I thought of anything having to do with Poconos. He's dedicated his life to documenting this, and he's won awards as a documentary photographer. Luzerne County just happens to be lucky to have him as one of their residents. But I'm not a great sleeper, and I was probably awake worrying about one thing or another, and I was saying, what could we do? You know, how could I put some really great pieces together and look clever? So I said, well, we could do some photos with Jim, and then do some voices. We could do the faces and voices of the blues. And before I would talk to anybody about it, I called Jim because I felt this is where I would start. I knew that Toby would agree. But I said, Jim, what do you think of this? And he said, you know, I just had an idea this week too that I should increase my portfolio. So that's how it all came about.
And I was thinking earlier about how the blues has influenced so many, and how this project can influence so many, bringing in new talents. But like Levon Helm, he kind of covered a certain area of music, a certain type of music, but he's the one who really introduced me to little Sammy Davis, a harp player. He was the one who introduced me to Alexis P. Souter. And Alexis is a newer blues artist, so where this project is going to have some of the old-timers, it's also going to have this new generation that's coming along, and I think Toby kind of bridges that, and he'll be able to share the stories of the old and the new.
And Jim, how much time did you spend down in Mississippi?
I've made two trips now. The last time I was down for about a week or so. The first time was relatively quick. I spent most of my time with a man by the name of T-Model Ford. The time that I spent with him, I knew I had to go back. And now that I've met some of these other people on this past trip, it's going to become my second home in some ways, I have a feeling.
Can people see some of the images?
Yeah, I've shown one or two, and there's one or two that we're using for publicity. But the rest I'm kind of saving for the date. And there's one picture in particular of Robert Belfour, Wolfman Belfour. I've made several pictures that I'm kind of proud of, but this one of Mr. Belfour is something to see, at least I think. So hopefully people will come on out and enjoy it.
It's a multi-event weekend.
It is, and it's complicated, but it isn't. It's simple. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, from 12 to 4, photos will be available for exhibit. On Saturday afternoon, from 2 to 4, there will be a blues workshop. And I would imagine it will morph into whatever works. It'll be Jim and Toby telling stories. It will be guitars if people bring them. It'll be just a fun afternoon. Then we're going to have the doors open at 7:30 on Saturday evening for an 8 p.m. concert. And I don't know what time it will go until, but it will be an evening worthy of the artists that I've told to come in and give me a weekend of your time. I do want to mention that there is a pricing on this. We have seniors and students. There's general admission and there's VIP passes. Now understand, these are three-day passes. $5 of every ticket sold will be donated to the Society for the Preservation of the Tripp House, and as we say it, so that this historic home will be around for others to appreciate for generations to come, as we hope the blues will be.
Dolores Hippler of Poconos and photographer Jim Gavinas paying a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about the faces and voices of the blues, June 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Tripp House in Scranton. Award-winning blues musician Toby Walker joined us by phone and talked first about the important role of storytelling in what he does.
I think what it does is it actually makes the music come a little bit more alive. It adds a little more of a dimension to it. So if I'm setting up a particular song with a story about how I learned the song or the person that I learned it from or funny experiences or extravagant experiences that I had in that particular field trip, I think it breathes a little bit more life into the song. People in an audience, they seem to warm up a little bit more, and And then as I play the song, it takes on a new meaning to them.
So even if they don't have any clue about the Delta life, because you're able to set the stage, you've been there, you can feel the moisture in the air, that sort of thing comes across in your stories.
Sure. You know, as I'm telling the story, I'll try and use particular words that touch on people's senses. So, you know, if I'm talking about, you know, the heat, or I'm talking about the sweat dripping down the back, or the sound of a cicada bug in the distance, you know, the more colors you paint in a story that touch on a person's senses, the more they can actually almost feel that in their senses in the audience. You know, the whole idea is just making more of a connection, a stronger connection between myself and the audience, so that when I am playing the music, that connection is strong, and they'll get much more out of it.
Now, this is an exciting project, the voices and faces of the blues. How are you approaching this weekend of music and images? Do you know each other?
Well, we know of each other, and we've communicated via email. I've seen a lot of his work up on his website. I'm sure Jim has probably heard a lot of my stuff from my website. This is the first time that we'll be meeting with each other. I'm certainly going to be gearing the music that I'm doing for that weekend. I'm going to be gearing it to really strike and try and paint the mood behind a lot of the photographs that Jim has already put up there. So whereas Jim's stuff on the walls would be not moving, so to speak, my music would be, in one sense, moving in and around those images, and try and marry the two together. The guitar workshop that I'm also going to do on Saturday afternoon, I'm going to be teaching people the music that I learned when I was at the feet of some of these masters. And I think all of that is going to just tie into all the pictures and the photographs that Jim has taken, and that's going to be on display.
Actually, he and I have never met, but like you mentioned, we had an opportunity to talk with one another through emails and such, and I'm a storyteller with the images that I create, and having the collaboration with the music and these faces, I think, is a perfect pairing. For instance, I know that Toby had worked with and played with and knew James' son, Thomas, and recently while I was in Mississippi, I had an opportunity to spend time with Pat Thomas, his son, and so I went to the cemetery with Pat, and each morning he goes there and he plays the blues for his father. And so I think once we get together and pairing the images and the music together, it'll really be a great collaboration, something that people will really enjoy.
Yeah, I think we could also probably tell a lot of similar stories, Jim. I mean, I remember when I met Pat for the first time, Pat was extremely shy. You know, his father was basically... you know, he was the king of the court, so to speak, in that house. And Pat just sat there and listened quietly, and then sometimes Pat would pick up a guitar and play along with his father, or would play a little bit of bass with his father. But you can clearly see that Pat was learning from James, and I'm just real happy to see that Pat, you know, picked up the baton, so to speak, and is now moving along with it.
And I know that's just one story that I know you and I will share together. I certainly haven't spent as much time in Mississippi as you have, or is familiar with the history, so I certainly have a lot to learn from it. But the people that I've met, I know that you've probably crossed paths with, and you'll have an opportunity to probably share those stories with some of the people that will be visiting that weekend.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm just looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a wonderful experience for not only the people that are attending it, but for ourselves as well.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. When Dolores called, I jumped at the opportunity to work with all of you.
Yeah, you know, I always thought about doing a show where that was actually slides going on in the background or something like that. So this is as close as I can get to that, and I think it's just going to be wonderful. I think people walking through the gallery, seeing your photographs, and... you know, at one point, I think it's on Sunday, we'll be doing that, and I'll be playing a lot of the music in that room, and just to hear the music and to see the photographs, it'll be a whole other experience for everybody.
Yeah, I think it'll take it to a completely different level, being able to pair the two together.
Yeah, yeah.
Toby, in this experience and what you do in your playing, it's not just a history lesson, although we do learn about the history. The blues is alive and talking to us today as well.
Yeah, I would say so. Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to dissect it, but I would say that the blues is, more than anything else, it's a real feeling. And that feeling comes across in the music itself, in the lyrics itself. It all comes across.
And Jim, did you experience, when you were down in the Delta area, a sense of the blues being not just nostalgic, but these people whom you met and talked to and the music you heard, it was alive.
Much alive. And you can still go to places like Red's and the Blue Front Cafe and Poe Monkeys and Ground Zero and these juke joints. And it's very much alive. Every night there's people there. This last trip down, I ended up sitting with Jimmy Duck Holmes and Watermelon Slim. And a lot of these people weren't supposed to be there. They're just popping in to carry on. And so it's very much alive.
I think it's probably more alive now than when I was down there 20 years ago. I understand now there's all these historical markers that are dotted all over the Delta, one marking Charlie Patton, where he lived, and another one marking where Sonny Boy Williamson was buried, another one marking where Robert Johnson worked on a plantation. And when I was down there, there wasn't anything like that. I had to go down there and try and find these places just from reading a lot of things in books and talking to a lot of other people when I was down there, saying, well, where would this particular spot be? I believe Dockery's Plantation, the plantation where Charlie Patton was to have worked, and Son House was in that area as well, and many bluesmen came from that area. That really wasn't even on the map. A friend of mine myself backed into the driveway by accident. We were making a U-turn to see where we were, and happened to look in the rearview mirror, and there was the famous Dockery's plantation sign in our rearview mirror. Now all of this stuff is clearly marked out, and there's a lot of tourists that go down there and to seek out these places. So I think now the music really has come alive. There's a ton of people that are going down there and experiencing it for themselves and experiencing all the sights down there for themselves.
And one of the things from a photographer's standpoint that I found with the blues that's different from other types of music is that they are more open to share their stories. They welcome me to come and sit on the porch and share a story and maybe a little whiskey here and there, but they're open to it. You don't find that in rock and roll and some of these other types of music.
Well, I know that they certainly shared them with me. They were very open, and I would make sure to take care of them financially and with any way I could, just to to say thank you for their time. I remember dropping off a whole box of groceries over at the time Jack Owen's house in Bentonia. We actually had to eat them all because his refrigerator wasn't plugged in. He didn't have it working, so there was no way to keep all the cold cuts. So we wound up stuffing ourselves the whole afternoon. They were more than welcoming to people that would come into their homes and play them music, to sit down and talk, share their lives, share their stories, share their time. Yes, remarkable experience. And I really, with yourself, I'm hoping we're going to really share that our experiences with all that to everybody that shows up.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to do that. And you mentioned about some of the conditions that they're living in currently, and it's really, in some ways, really saddening that people that have influenced so much in music and so many other people, and when you go and sit at their homes, they're really in need of a lot of things, money,
yeah,
food, and just a number of things, yet they open their door up to everyone, and it just seems most people pass by and kind of forget them.
Yeah, I know. That is one of the ironies of the music. A lot of people go down there, and there are a lot of people that I knew that were tourists that went down there. They would spend half hour, 45 minutes with these people, take their pictures and everything, and then be off on their way, and boom, that was it. They were gone. And it happens. But hopefully with people becoming more and more interested in it, maybe Pat's records will sell a lot more, and who knows, he can start collecting some royalties, and wouldn't that be a great thing?
That'd be wonderful. Yep.
Toby, you also write your own pieces informed by all of these amazing experiences and these travels.
Yes, I do. One of the things that I remember, one of the bluesmen that I hung out with, a man named Eugene Powell in Greenville, told me that that I could play them really well. You know, but he added that you always need to find your own voice, to do it your own way. And that's something I really took to heart with me. I knew exactly what he was talking about. And you know, there's one way of sharing the experience with listeners by playing the music as close to the way they played it, but there's also another aspect of being able to put yourself into the music and reflect your own experiences, reflect the music in your own way, to really have your own voice within that music, your own style. And that was one of the things that was specifically told to me. But aside from that, I noticed you could give the same song to everybody that I hung out with, and they all would play it completely differently. They all had their own approach to it. And it really speaks of the individual voice.
When you take this music into schools and maybe young people are hearing it for the first time, what kinds of reactions do you get? What kinds of ear-opening experiences is that when you go into the schools, Toby?
Well, I'm dealing with a hard age group, say 13 to 14-year-olds. You know, they're cool by their own standards. So if I don't come to them on those standards at that level and immediately establish some rapport with them, then anything I would play would be lost. And I've seen this with other musicians that would come into the school and immediately just start breaking into playing an old blues song, and it would get lost on the kids. The kid would just say, what's going on here? Whereas my approach is, the first thing I do is I go in there and I'll play them a particular song that actually has a surprise in it. You know, I tell the kids right off the bat, I was going to do a song, but I noticed that there's a boy in this class I recognize, and I guess I'm going to play this instead. And the song is called It Should Have Been Me, and it's all about the girls that kept getting away from me. They kept getting away, and I could never seem to catch one. And then I walk into a restaurant, and I happen to see, and that's when I mentioned this boy's name. And this comes as a complete surprise to all the kids, because the kids are like, what? They're all laughing. Now they're looking over at the guy. And usually I pick somebody that has a real good sense of humor, is very popular with the girls. And I mentioned how he's sitting there eating ice cream and cake, and there's a girl feeding him food, and she's beautiful. And that right there in the first song opens up everything. The kids are laughing. The guy's feeling really good. I stop the song in the middle, and I ask him if he got her phone number, and if he looks at me, and then if he's really cool, he'll shake his head up and down. And once that opening has been made, and the kids realize I'm not lecturing them, I'm going to entertain them, at that point, I can get away with playing an old Son Thomas song or a Jack Owens song and intersperse this with stories. And the kids will be completely, completely open to it at that point, you know, for that age group. And that's the age group that I hit. So the kids are open to it, and by the end of the show, they're just yelling and screaming along with me, and I can sing Got Your Mojo Working, and they're all screaming it back at me, and they're all just having a ball. And all of a sudden, that whole cool factor has washed away. And at that point, they're open to anything. And when I do play this music for them, it's completely eye-opening, especially when I'm using a cigar box guitar or a one-string diddly bow, things they've never seen, or a steel guitar. They've never seen those things. They've never heard those things. So it's a whole other world to them.
What about these instruments? Are you going to bring this weekend some different guitars, some vintage guitars with you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll be bringing some. They have a one-string diddly bow that I like using. I have a cigar box guitar that I enjoy using. I've got some steel guitars that I'm going to be bringing. Yeah, and just probably an old, I have a 12-string guitar that I'm going to be bringing. Each one has its own unique little voice and songs that you can play on it. And it just creates and has a whole different mood to it, I guess. It just projects a whole different sound. And they look pretty cool, too. So people will visually, as Jim can attest, I mean, the visual sense is one of our strongest senses as well. Visually, it just draws them in. It makes for a fun show.
Well, that's one of the things that I try to do with my photographs, is that a lot of people are used to seeing the musicians, the band members, screaming into a microphone. And so I try to make a different photograph, something that really captures these personalities so that it'll draw people in and increase their interest a little bit and want to know more about the people in the photographs.
Yeah, there was a photograph, I think, that you had posted, I think it was on Facebook. It was you and Pat in a car, and you were both clearly having a grand old time traveling around, and that's exactly the type of impression I had. Here's two people driving through, barriers are down, walls are broken, having a clear, great time because the music brought them together. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing those photographs that bring those sides out of the musicians that you've taken.
And that's exactly how I try to work. For me, it's not just making a photograph, it's the experience that goes along with it. And the more experiences that I have with these people, like with Pat driving in the car and playing as we drive through town, we build this connection and my pictures become more intimate and more personal, and people can really find out what Pat is like and what the music is like.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing those photos, I'll tell you.
It's going to be a good time as
we
all bring this thing together.
Acclaimed documentary photographer Jim Gavinas, award-winning blues musician Toby Walker, with Dolores Hippler, co-founder with Patrick Harper of Poconotes. Poconotes will present the faces and voices of the blues Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, June 8th, 9th, and 10th at the historic Tripp House, North Main Avenue in Scranton. The photography exhibit will be of blues images by Jim Gavinas. And Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, noon to 4, that exhibition will be available for viewing. And then there will be musical accompaniment provided by Toby Walker on Sunday afternoon during the exhibition. So the photography exhibition of blues images by Jim Gavinas at the Tripp House, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, June 8th, 9th, and 10th, from noon to 4. Sunday afternoon, Toby Walker will be on hand providing live musical accompaniment. On Saturday afternoon, the 9th of June at 2 o'clock, it's a blues workshop with Toby Walker, and you can take along your guitar, and Jim Gavinas will be on hand as well. And then at 8 o'clock Saturday night, it's a blues performance by Toby Walker, and that's all at the Tripp House, North Main Avenue in Scranton. For more information on the web, poconotes.com, P-O-C-O-N-O-T-E-S, poconotes.com.